Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk about it.
Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind the waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole. No rubbers, going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time, watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons, I love them, baby. Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time. Way to be. Paradise life relaxing, black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. I'm on the exchange, the range, cast, lost tropics are bad, free at last, brand new whips to crash, then we laugh in the iller path, the villa houses for the crew, how we do, trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretches, so many years of depression make me vision, the better living, type of place to raise kids in, open the eyes to the lies, history's so foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl, plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding trips to Paris. I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trife life to lavish. Political prisoners set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I lick Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's. It's down foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa. Imagine that. Living worried, ducked down in car seats, heat's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting chased, hunger for pace. These are the breaks, many mistakes, go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate, we carry weight, trying to get late. Flip the ace back to safe, millionaire planning, hit the gap with the cock hammer. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit, I push the 245 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons,
I love them, baby.
Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time.
If I rule the world,
imagine
if
that.
I free all my sons,
I love them, baby.
Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time.
If I rule the world,
if I rule,
I free all my
diamonds, I love them, baby.
Black diamonds above.
If I rule,
if I rule the world, if I rule the world,
love them, baby.
Yeah. Told me that's bottom line. I swear to God, I'm bound to shine. Don't play this game from the bench, nigga. I'm starting line. They pressure the pocket, hoping, wishing that they can stop it. I scramble like Randall. I'm out of pocket, pursuing profit. Yeah. My only option is to grind to my bone bristle, yeah. Swinging like a man drunk, ride without a turning signal. See, life is a bitch, so I stay strapped and I'm trying to fuck her. I'm going nuts for this dough. Maybe my mind is flustered, thinking about all the bad. I'm headed to the top, I swear to God, it ain't no stopping me.
We gon' make it, I'm hustling all the time, keeping my main focus, I'm on my grind.
We gon' make it, I'm in my right state of mind, right where I wanna be, I'm speaking right, no lie.
We gon' make it,
no one before, never against me shall prosper. We shootin' for the top, and y'all can't stop.
We gon' make it,
we gon' make it, I'm keeping my head up.
To make it, ain't no way they can take it. The reason I'm rocking these braids, cause I know I can't be faded. Shooting for the top, if I stay consistent, they got the pilot. I've been at the bottom, I continue to climb up out it. Fuck a limit in this guy, my vision going over ice. Still rising and beat the fly, ain't no giving, skip being a diet. You can keep the material shit, can get the street of fire. Just well as the D about it, SKIPD about it. Never exposed to failure, that's why I keep reaping rhyming. Invest in GPS, ride hard, the rich and find me. If you ain't grinding for shit, then why they hear you be around? You to look a big run, one of the gangsters who be around. Stay humble, stay focused, we don't see nothing beneath the island. Walking this long road, cold nights bringing heat behind that. Fuck how I hate to feel, and however he take it. One thing I know, that KIPD know.
We gon' make it. I'm hustling all the time, keeping my main focus, I'm on my grind. I'm in my right state of mind, right where I wanna be. I'm speaking right, no lie.
We gon' make it.
No one before, never against me shall prosper. We shootin' for the top, and y'all can't stop.
We gon' make it.
We gon' make it. I'm keeping my head up and patiently waiting.
We gon' make it.
Hey, family, welcome to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Glad to have you, as always. And I want to start off, as always, thanking everyone for tuning in and giving me your time. You know, I realize that, time is a valuable commodity. You don't have to give it. It's the one thing that you can offer someone that's invaluable and it's free. And I say free because it doesn't cost you anything to spend time. I want to say thank you for joining in, as always, family, and show my appreciation to you. Because I know there's plenty of other places that you can be, and especially for those folks up in the New York area, because I know y'all have this show on AM radio. With that being said, family, let me send out my acknowledgments to my EOTM family, Carla B., Ronnie, and the West Coast family, Queen G., Jimmy Baker, Q, of course, the new addition to the family, and I'm not going to forget about my man Ron and Mother Jenkins here in the Atlanta area with me, holding it down for the EOTM family. The blog room is open, family. And for those of you who don't know, my personal email address is donadamstalkshow@eotmradio. Now, that's for you folks that want to send me out those BlackBerry letters that I have not been getting. Well, I've been getting some. I just haven't been reading them because y'all need to tone down some of the language. So I'm just going to be honest with you. Blog room is open, and I mentioned that already, family. And I want to send shouts out to our people in the New Zealand. That's right, country of New Zealand, Jamaica, Australia, and, of course, the UK. I'm not going to forget about you. My family in the UK. That's right. The show is international, baby. We have a great listenership for those of you who don't know. And, of course, I've already thanked the family on stateside for their time. But let's keep this thing moving because we've got some pretty exciting topics on the table for us tonight. And before I get started with it, I just want to put this disclaimer out there, as I always do. They pay me to be a liberal. That's why I am who I am. I get paid to be a big mouth. I get paid to say the things that I say. With that being said, I want to make sure that everyone understands that my thoughts and opinions are my own, not necessarily connected with those that are affiliated with EOTM. So don't go blaming them for something that I say. All right, let's move it along, family. All right, tonight's hot topic is sex offenders in a neighborhood near you. That's right. I'm going to say it again. Sex offenders in a neighborhood near you. And before we go any further with the topic, fam, I want to put the show information out there, too. www.eotmradio.com. Or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. And, of course, the call-in number for tonight, for those of you who want to chime in, 718-664-6543. That's the number to call. Don't be afraid. It looks like a New York number, but it's actually an Atlanta number. Did that make sense? I don't know. Sex offenders, family, in a neighborhood near you. All right? Oh, I'm sorry. In a neighborhood near you is what I put in there. That's a mistype. That's a typo, family. But sex offenders in a neighborhood near you. How many people really know where the sex offenders are? How many people even know that sex offenders must now register in every state that they live in order to be located by the police? How many people are aware of that, that sex offenders registries are public knowledge? Huh? How many people know that? That's right, sex offenders. Has anyone bothered to check the sex offenders registry in their state? Did you know that there is a sex offender registry in your state? Let's talk about it. And here's the other half to that, family. Why do sex offenders get easy sentences while other criminals get that commit less serious crimes are thrown under the bus? Think about that. Sex offenders, those people that prey on your kids, and in some cases prey on your wives, get soft sentences. Oftentimes, these folks end up on probation. Oftentimes, they end up in these low to mid maximum type prisons. You know, whereas you get some of our guys that say maybe might be trafficking a little bit of drug, or maybe even some of our guys that maybe even had a couple of DUIs. You know, are driving without a license. That's another harsh one. They stick you under the bus in Georgia for driving without a license. Third time is a felony offense in Georgia. Guess what? That's up to 5 years in prison for driving without a damn license. When you go across the line in Florida, you don't get that. They write you a citation, cut you loose, tell you have a good day, show up in court. That's crazy to me. But you got these sex offenders running wild and running rampant in the community. You know, they're getting these easy, these slap-on-the-wrist sentences. Now, I'm going to let y'all in on a couple of little secrets. Number one. This has been going on for years, because for years the typical sex offender profile is a white male between the ages of 30 to about 50 years of age, middle income, easygoing, laid-back type of guy, but he's a sex offender. He's a child molester. That's typically the profile of a child molester. But see, you know what the states have done is they have broadened that a little bit, and they have said, we're going to include other offenses inside the sex offender's offense base. That makes sense to your family? That's why you see a lot of young black men who happen to be 17 years of age sleeping with a girl who's 15 years of age getting caught up in a sex offender's registry game. So now they figured out another way to incorporate that and into the black community, or into our community, and to ensnare us with the fear of the title sex offender. So, folks, you need to understand what's going on when we talk about sex offenders, the registry, and when we talk about, you know, how people are being tossed up on that registry. And then the most important fact, I believe, is when you talk about why is it that child molesters are getting these cushiony-ass sentences, and you got those folks out there that go to jail for armed robbery, or maybe, and here's a good example, armed robbery, and he didn't even have a gun. Maybe he had a water pistol. And they gave the guy 10 years. But you got somebody who's molested 12, let's just not even put a number like that big on it. Let's just say one child, and has screwed that child up for the rest of that child's life, and this guy's going to walk away with probation because he went into court and cried and told the judge he thought he was liberating the kid. What kind of sense does that make? We got a call on the line, 909-527. You're on the air with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Don Adams? This is Carla B. Just calling in to check in with you to see what's up with your show.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the show, Carla. Glad to have you as always. You know, we're talking tonight. Well, the first half of the show, we're going to be talking about these sex offenders in the neighborhoods near you. A lot of people don't realize that there's registries out there and that tell you where these people are living. A lot of people don't realize that these folks have to register with the state, otherwise they go back to jail. You know, and what I'm trying to do with tonight's show, especially with the first half, is to put out the information on which states have a registry that's active, because some states have registries that are not active, and to tell people how they can go and check the registries just to see who's living in their neighborhoods. Because a lot of times folks send their kids out there and they don't realize that the joke across the street is a daggone child molester.
Right, right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the other half to that, Carla, is I'm trying to figure out if people realize that sex offenders generally get lighter sentences than other folks that do or commit, in my opinion, less crimes of a lesser offense in our judicial system. I gave an example of a man who goes in to rob a bank, but he has a water pistol. And they mess around and give him 10 years. Well, a sex offender gets out here and screws the kid up for the rest of his life. Now the kid's going to be having nightmares, or even worse, kid may have some gender confusion behind it. And guess what? Either way, this guy's going to get probation. Or even let's talk about some of the horrific ones. Sex offenders out there who have molested 12, 13, 25 kids and never got caught, but they admit to it, and they turn around and get a 10-year probated sentence with 1 year to serve. It's not making sense to me.
Right. Wow, that is that's quite devastating, not just to the children, but to the entire communities as well. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I did not know, you know, have no idea as far as what the differences were as far as the time a person would get for committing a crime. But you would think of if they're as far as a child molestation or some kind of sexual act, that would be something considerably higher. A friend of mine was just saying that it really depends on the state, and if they could just create like one particular law and have it for all the states, that would be great, because some states, I guess, they have harsher, you know, consequences for sex offenders than other states.
Yeah, and that's true. You know, some states tend to be a little bit more liberal when it comes to those type of offenses. But, you know, that particular statement that you just made is a direct application on race, because I'm going to tell you, what I mentioned it earlier in the show, too, is that typically the average sex offender, child molester, is someone who is a white male somewhere between the ages of 30 to about 45 to 50 who comes from a middle-class to lower-class background, and is usually clean-cut, well-spoken, and very, very articulate. That's typically what your child molester looks like, or the profile of a child molester. Now, with that in mind, it stands fair in my mind to say this, and I already put the disclaimer out there, family, that my opinions are not necessarily connected with those other hosts that affiliate with AEOTM, because I get paid to say what I say. So I'm going to say it like this. In my opinion, that is a direct reflection of how the system has been so unfair towards black men. Now, I say that to say this. They have expanded the definition of sex offenses, and they were very careful not to include the title child molesters, but to just say sex offenses, sex offense crimes, and so that they can toss more black men on registries. Now, I'll give you an example. Right here in Georgia, the 17-year-old young man here in Douglas County area, 17 years old, had sex with a 15-year-old white girl. Guess what? They tossed him in prison. He got out eventually. That Denarlo Wilson case, he got out eventually. But you know what? That kid still had to register as a sex offender. He got his freedom, but he's marked for the rest of his life.
Right.
What is that all about? You follow where I'm going?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's put in place as far as, you know, putting him on that list, of course, you know, to protect people, to protect children. And sometimes, unfortunately, you know, there is slips in the system, whereas, you know, like Janarlo Wilson's case, I mean, he, you know, got caught up, and we all know that was something that was consensual. So there should be, I guess, they should kind of broaden things a little bit as far as, well, not broaden it, but they should shrink it down as far as what this particular law, how it's read in Atlanta, and then maybe, you know, kind of cut it down so there won't be so many loopholes.
Well, I don't think there's loopholes in it. I think that what they're doing is this. they're trying to use the application of this law. Let me, and I'm going to tell y'all something that's going to blow your damn minds in just in about 60 seconds. When I finish this comment, I'm going to tell y'all something that's going to blow y'all's damn mind. They're trying to take that law, and they're trying to apply it to situations that don't necessarily fit the law. Now, there's no reason in the world why a 19-year-old or an 18-year-old should go to jail for having sex with a 17-year-old. A 16-year-old. That's a two-year difference. You're talking about two kids, and they're playing with numbers. Then somebody may say you have to have a cutoff and so forth and so on. Well, let me just be honest with you. They shouldn't be having sex anyway because they're still minors. But at the end of the day, they are. And locking these kids up is not going to resolve the issue and giving them a felony record. That falls into the game of let's get them a felonized record as quickly and as soon as possible. So let me give y'all, let me throw something out there that's going to blow y'all's mind. In the state of Georgia, you can end up on a sexual registry without ever even committing a sexual offense towards anyone. Does anyone want to challenge me on that? What you think about that?
Well, go ahead and break it down to me.
If I go outside my home, example, and I happen to be in my backyard or anywhere else taking a leak, as some men are known to do, and a child happens to be and a child happens to be within visual sight of me doing that, guess what? When I'm arrested for indecent exposure or whatever it is that I'm going to go to jail for, at the end of the day, when I get out of jail or when my case is resolved, I'm going to end up on a sex offender's registry, marked as a sex offender for the rest of my life.
Right. Yep, I knew about that, and a lot of those, that's kind of unfortunate, because if you were a guy that just had to go, you know, that's unfortunate. But, you know, I just don't understand it, because I think guys really need to hold their bladder a little bit. You know, I guess they have weak bladders, because every guy I know, if we're on the freeway,
well, wait a minute.
If they
got
to go,
minute.
They got to go.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, I know some women that can't hold it, too, now. I mean, come on now. All those Kegel exercises, those Kegel exercises don't always hold up. Now, don't get me talking about the Kegel exercises now. Don't get me started.
Well, no, you know, that's just crazy. When you guys already know that they can possibly get put on a sex offender, if the police catch them using the bathroom, then that should really tell them to not do that. You know, if you got to get a cup, and pee in the cup in your car, that's, you know, do that, but don't go out in public and pull it out.
Here's something. Well, you know what? That goes for women, too, as well. You know, if a woman takes a leak out in public somewhere, because I've seen ladies that have to do it, and, you know, a young kid happens to say, Mommy, look over there. That lady's peeing in the yard over there. And you know what? The kid sees it. You know what? She gets arrested. She's going on the registry. So it goes both ways.
Right.
It goes both ways. Here's something that a lot of – here's one of the things – it's one of the statistics that I want to put out there for the family, because y'all know I love factual things. There are currently in the United States today 400,000 registered sex offenders on file. Out of that 400,000, an estimated 80 to 100,000 of them are missing. Now, what that means when it says that they're missing, family, is out of that 400,000 – the 400,000 sex offenders that are out there, that are registered, are supposedly registered with in all over the country, 80,000 to 100,000 of them are missing, meaning that the jurisdictions don't know where they are. That's important, because when these people are under the radar, and I'll give you all a great example, when a young lady was kidnapped and mutilated and molested, accosted, should I say, and murdered here off of Super Comics Trail a few years ago, what happened was the very first thing, because of the nature of the crime, the police went to the sex offenders registry, and because of the location of the gentleman that they arrested for that crime and charged with, and he was on the sex offenders registry, because of the fact that he was registered as a sex offender and relatively close to that area, they were able to track him down and charge him with that crime. So that's how important it is for these folks to be known, for these folks to be found out, and for us to know where they are. Because I'm going to put this out there for you too, family. Sex offenders and child molesters are the number one recidivist in the system. What I mean by recidivist, family, is a recidivist is someone who commits the same act repeatedly. In other words, who's very prone to have committed the same act again. A bank robber, he can become a recidivist because he just wants to get his ass out there and rob banks all day. He goes to jail, he gets out, he wants to go back and rob again. Well, guess what? He's a recidivist because he's recidivated, committed the same type of act. Sex offenders are the number one recidivist on the list. They are the most likely to go out and to commit another sexual offense, especially upon a child in their lifetime. What do you think about that?
Right. That's something. Yeah, you're definitely bringing the facts, things I didn't know. So on that, on some of the things I may not have a comment on because I don't really have an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm. Here's something that might blow your mind. There's an estimation that's put out there. This is from a guy by the name of Dr. Gene Abel. I hope I'm saying his name correct. Y'all know I can't pronounce names right. But he estimates that there is between 1% and 5% of our population currently walking around are child molesters. He estimates that. And here's another thing.
Say that again.
This guy is estimating, in his best, of course he's using numbers. This guy, he's a specialist with CNN. He's estimating that 1 to 5% of the population that walks around today are child molesters.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt it.
Okay. Nearly all of all of the offenders in the sexual assaults reported to law enforcement were male, 96%. Now, that's important because you know what? That number's starting to become a little bit more stagnated with women. Now, more and more, you're finding more women out there who are molesting little boys or girls. They're starting to pop up. And see, what that means to me, in my opinion, is that it's not that they're starting to commit those crimes. It's that they're starting to go noticed. They're starting to gain notoriety. People are beginning to not turn a blind eye to the fact that women are doing these types of things. That's what's happening. In other words, there used to be a softer approach when it came to women doing these sorts of things. But now society is saying, wait a minute, you're doing this to our little boys too, so we're going to put you in the system too.
Right?
What do you think about that?
It's only fair.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one for you, family. Over 23% of sexual assault offenders, over 23% were under the age of 18 and 77, right? Under the age of 17 and under the age of 77, okay? 23% of them. That means that this is starting at a young age. When they start coming up with numbers like that, family, that means this is happening at a very, very young age. You got 17-year-olds, you got 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds out there who are molesting your children, okay? Serious. What do you think about that? Carl? Hello? Okay. Carla B? All right. Well, family, we're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And right now we're talking about sex offenders and the registries. We're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back. And when we come back, I want to list, in no particular order, the states out there that are actively enforcing and having their sex offenders registries updated and are doing what they're supposed to do to be out there protect the public, which would be you and I, right? Yes, right. I said you and I because even though I'm a big, bad black dude, I'm still afraid of sex offenders. I'm afraid of them. So stay tuned, family. When we come back, we're going to chop it up some more about some of these sex offenders in the neighborhoods near us.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Urban Literary Review, where literature and urban meet. hosted weekly by Tia from DC Bookman and Martin from Culture First. Urban Literary.
To understand how I felt for you, I tried a hard time and time again, but I didn't know our love wouldn't grow. I should have just let it go, but I stayed around thinking you would learn to love, and we both know you're wrong. There's nothing you can do to ever undo what you've done.
Testing 569. Testing 569. Carla B, you with us?
Yes, sir. I am with you.
Okay, cool, cool. Sorry about that, family. I had a breakdown in the mental capacity. I will accept the fault behind that one. But we had some interesting comments came out in the blog room. I want to put those out there. Someone in the blog room mentioned that the Donalo kid did not have to register as a sex offender. So I may stand corrected on that, because the last time I checked, he did. But I'm gonna research that for sure. But they said he didn't have to register as a sex offender, and that's why the others did. That's why he ended up going to prison, is because the others took a plea and decided to do that. And he said he wasn't a sex offender and he wasn't going to do that. And I do think that information may be correct, but I am going to confirm that. Absolutely, family. Also, had another comment from Real Street One in the blog room saying that, you know, the information is real informative, and they also like the way that we're displaying the statistics out there. Now, I say that to say this, family. Statistics are very important. They can go against you or for you, but in most cases, knowing the statistics on things really and truly tells you where things have been, where they are, and where they're going. What do you think about that, Carla? Because I know your time is limited, and we want to pick your brains while you're here. What's up, Carla?
Repeat that last sentence again. I'm sorry, I was reading something.
I said, I know your time is limited, and I'm trying to get your comments on that, by statistics being, meaning that statistics are important.
Oh, yeah.
Because they tell us where it's been, where it is, and where it's going. And I know your time is limited because you're getting ready to do some other things, and I wanted to pick your brains on that comment right there.
Okay. Well, we already know. You know, your show is the Don Adams talk show. That's one thing. Your show is based around is the facts and statistics. So, yeah, of course, that's very important. You know, putting out information, we want the people to know that it's not just information that you yourself believe. These are proven facts. So that is definitely – that's key. That's key, and mm-hmm. especially in talk shows such as these. Research, facts, statistics, numbers is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Appreciate that. And for you folks that do want to call in, the number to call in is 718-664-6543. I'm not going to say it again. 718-664-6543. That's right. I said it again. Hey, let me put something else out there for you. 2/3 of all prisoners convicted of rape or sexual assault have committed their crime against children. Here's a big one. 89% of the child sexual assault cases involve persons known to the children, such as a caretaker or a family acquaintance. Now, that's important, family, because I'm going to tell y'all something. Check this out. When I do shows on haters, it always comes from within. It never comes from without. Same thing with the child molesters, because they are creatures of opportunity. And how can you get an opportunity to be around a child except to find yourself in a situation where everyone thinks that you are a friend of the family or the child? Guess what? That's a perfect opportunity. And that's why 89% of these people are people that the child is familiar with. That's a huge number. What do you think about that, Carla?
You know, I'm in total agreement, and I'm actually amazed at, you know, some of these things that are coming out of your mouth tonight.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a fact, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is.
Mm-hmm. Acquaintance perpetrators are the most common abusers, consisting approximately of 70 to 90% of all of the reported child molesters. Huh?
What was that word again? You just said. What was that word?
Perpetrators. Perpetrators.
Okay.
That's a law enforcement term for a perp.
Right.
Or a subject, or someone that you're trying to track down, you know, somebody that you believe committed this. Here's another good one for you, family. For the vast majority of child victims in state prison, the victim was someone they knew before the crime. 1/3 had committed their crime against their own children. About a half of them had a relationship with the victim as a friend, acquaintance, or a relative, other than an offspring, which was about 1 in 7 in reported to have been a stranger. 1 in 7 of them reported it to have been a stranger. Okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna say that one one more time. 1/3 of them committed their crime against their own children.
Mm. Wow.
One half of them had a relationship with the victim as a friend, acquaintance, or a relative other than the offspring. And about 1 in 7 reported the victim to have been a stranger to them. Hmm? Mm. Well, y'all think about that. That's serious because,
well,
you know, you got to realize. Go ahead, Carla.
Wow. I want to add something to that, but my instant messenger was just blowing up just there. But that is so true, and that is so sad. So sad as far as the perpetrators being someone in the person's family. And I'll say this, I was a victim of child abuse in my when I was under 10. And I was abused by uncles, a couple uncles, you know. So, you know, and that's so true. Your mom or your dad leave you, you know, with family thinking that you're in good hands, and you're not. And those are the ones that you need to be, you know, watching out for. And I'm not trying to say, okay, everybody's family has somebody corrupt in it, but you have to be careful. And as I grew older, and as far as with my kids and stuff, I would not have anybody, I didn't want anybody even watching them. When I had to go off to work and my kids were younger and they couldn't speak, it just really devastated me. I called that babysitter like every hour. And, you know, it's just so, it's so sad the way there's so many perpetrators preying on young children. It's so devastating. It really is. And you know what you mentioned at the top of the hour as far as the time that these people will get when they go to jail. And that's sad. I mean, I don't understand why somebody who does this to young children, that they get just a couple years or something. You know, they
The system, I'm going to tell you why. You know why? Because for years, typically, the typical profile of a child molester, and I mentioned it at the top of the hour when I said that, and the reason why I laid it out like that was so people can understand. Typically, a child molester is someone between the ages of 30 to about 55 or so, or maybe even up to 70. But he's a white male, educated, or in most cases educated, or a white male who has middle to a lower middle class income, a moderate lifestyle, quiet, clean cut, you know, goes unnoticed, under the radar. Imagine how this used to go over in the court system, which is already partial to white people. And I say it just the way it is. No offense to my Caucasian brothers and sisters out there, but the system is already partial to you all. They don't want to send them to prison. They don't want to send them to, because and the other attitude of the courts has generally been child molestation is a serious issue, but it's not as bad as, say, somebody walking out here selling crack to the community. And that's just been the attitude of the courts. The only time somebody goes to jail or prison for a long time for committing this type of crime is if it outrages the public. If we all get pissed off and say, you know what, burn his ass at the cross, then the judge is going to say, I'm going to put him in prison for a long time.
Right, and you know
that's
what?
Why.
And I'll tell you this. I think, and it's really sad, I think the reasons behind that is that in some countries, these types of behaviors by these sorts of people that do things like this, it's not a major crime. I don't even think it is a crime in some countries. It's like a given to have sex with children. So
yeah.
And I think that if the United States tried to lay down some major laws where these people would be in jail forever, then you know, they might have some kind of bad business vibes from these other countries. And it's sad. It's all about money. It boils down to all about the money and making somebody in another country mad. You don't want to mess with your allies. You know, you don't want to make your enemies you know, matter at you or something, you know. So it's really unfortunate. And this is the world we live in. Nothing's fair.
Mm-hmm. Let me show you. Let me share something with y'all. 70% of those people serving time for crimes against children are white people. That accounts for 40%. Whites account for 40% of those in prison for violent crimes against adults. So they're locking brothers up, but they're locking white folks up too. So that's why I say that, you know, a lot of times when you talk about the system, it's not always a color issue. It's sometimes a status issue. That's why I say that. And 70% of those people out there that are locked up for crimes against children, such as molestation, are 70% of those are white men. That's a lot of child molesters in that one particular group. And I'm not trying to highlight white men as fiends and so forth and so on. You see, I think black people get in trouble with child molestation because we tend to do like the Hispanic community. We like the young ladies. We like the young girls. And a lot of times we don't check the IDs. And sometimes, like my man Lawrence Taylor, I think he knew that that was a kid. I think he just wanted to buy him some nook-nook and didn't care. And at the end of the day, now he's all caught up and he's on his way to trial. You know, don't get me wrong, I wish him well, but the problem is he wanted some young stuff. And see, hey, that ain't cool on no level. You're still going to get flagged as a child molester. That's still child molestation by the definition of what's going on in the courts. But you know what, Carla? I wanted to ask you a question if I could. And if, you know, and because of who you are, you can decline to answer this question, or you know, it's your choice. But what do you think were some of the long term effects of your experiences as being, you know, from being molested?
Okay, long term effects. There's still pain, you know, in there, but it's not really behind as far as the perpetrator. It's behind some other things, and I don't mind elaborating on it because I'm actually writing a book, and I'm detailing all of this. But the pain stems from family members not necessarily believing me. That's where the pain lies with me, or long-term effects is that. And I'm, you know, just now really getting past that kind of pain, that particular pain, because, you know, as long as I know in my heart what I said was right, and if they want to choose to not believe me, then it's because they're dealing with their own pain issues within themselves. So I don't think that I'll be experiencing this, you know, for the duration of my years. Is at a point right now where as I'm 38 and I'm now really seeing it for what it was. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, it's not going to be something that I'm dealing with when I'm 50. But right now, 38 is still there.
You know something? Thank you for sharing with us, Carla. Let me say this to the family out there, too, as well. More than half of all convicted sex offenders, more than half, are sent back to prison within a year or within 2 years. 77.9% are back in prison. Now, that's a huge number. This is why I said to you the rate of recidivism with sex offenders is the highest out of any other group. Recidivism rates range from 18 to 45%. The more violent the crime, the more likelihood of them repeating it. Now, here's where I'm going with that part right there, family. Is if you have a child molester who strangles a child, or who tries to murder the child, or who mutilates the child, or commits some type of a violent act towards that child, even if it's a threat, that one right there is what you call a true pedophile. He is a predator. He falls into the predator category. Now, and I used to be a sex offenders officer with the DeKalb County felony unit here in Georgia, so this is why I understand this, family. I was trained in this. But that's your pedophile, because he's a hunter. He's going to hunt, and that's the one that's going to do the most damage. That's going to be most likely to offend, because it becomes a compulsion for him to do violent things towards the child. Now, keep that in mind, family, because it's important for you all to realize one thing. It's just like what Carla B. said. If your child comes to you and says, "Mommy, Daddy, so-and-so touch me," y'all need to start believing that. Because when you don't believe your child, that is the number one tool. Same thing with the devil. The devil think nobody believe he exists. Everybody want to talk about God and Jesus, but they don't ever want to talk about the devil. We won't give him no props. Guess what? He likes that, because he's going to sneak up on you. He's going to do what he want to do. Child molester, the same principle. So I like to put him in the category of a terrorist. Everybody want to talk about terrorists, but everybody won't stick their head in the sand and act like they don't exist. Well, guess what? All those folks, the one thing they have in common is the sneak attack. They want you to not believe that they exist. What do you think, Carla?
I mean, I totally agree. I totally agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Very, 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 very trifling. Like rape, child molestation is one of the most unreported crimes. Only 1 in 10% of these are ever disclosed. That's off the charts, family, because you know what that means? That means that a lot of kids are being molested, or a lot of kids are telling the family of the moms that this is going on, and they're not being believed. That's
exactly.
Sad. That number's too high. And the only way that we know that number is low like it is, or high, or so to speak, the only way we can keep track of that, family, and I'm going to tell you all the truth, is by these things being reported. They go into what's called the crime statistics. That's held and monitored by the FBI. Every state, every police department in the United States of America has to send in what's called a running log, or they have to report their crime indexes to the FBI. who gathers this information so they can look at geographical areas and say, okay, we got a bunch of child molesters in Wyoming, or we got a bunch of freaks down there in Florida. We got a bunch of folks down there in New Jersey committing rapes. Now, that's the way that they keep track of that family, is they gather this information. The same way they keep track of the single black mothers out there with single black kids and turn around and say, we're going to need some more prisons because we got too many single black moms out there with these raising these young boys by themselves. Oh, yeah, all of this stuff ties in together, family, because I think it's important for everybody to understand that when you talk about the system and the true meaning of of the system, as we say it, mm-hmm. we're talking about those fashions, those things that are in place to monitor, to control, and most importantly, to capitalize off of the issues that we're having in society. Everything from child support to arguing to the criminal justice system to the juvenile justice system. Those mm-hmm. things are put in place to capitalize off of the fact that, you know what, our asses don't get along. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's what they use to maintain and work on. And I'm going to tell you something. Child molesters was the perfect model for the system to come into place, because everything that happens with child molesters, probation, parole, all of that, those cats were the perfect model for what was to happen with the rest of us in the criminal justice system. A lot of people don't realize that. What you think about that, Carla B?
Wow. I'm just speechless. So, you know, my mind is just going so many different ways right now. But, you know, nothing is really surprising, you know, when it comes to the United States. And, you know, it all boils down to one thing, and it's politics. Simple as that.
Absolutely. But, you know, the main thing about that is, like I said to the family, is that, you know, I want everyone to understand that, you know, there are things that you can do to protect yourself. And speaking of which, you know, I want to put this other piece of information out there, you know, for the family, because, you know, I think that everyone in every state needs to know what states have child molester registries. Okay, I think everybody needs to know that, because, and you also need to know how to access those registries. Okay.
I thought mostly state had the sex register. So you saying every state doesn't have them?
They're supposed to, but here's the thing. When I say states that have them, okay, I'm pulling the registries up now, family. That's why I was kind of pausing a little bit. Now here's the thing. When I say states that have registries, I'm talking about those states who actively operate those registries. Now, let me give y'all an example. In Georgia, Georgia's high up on the list, I think number 8 for child molestation cases or something like that, right? So Georgia has a very active child molestation or has a very active sex offenders registry because of the rate of reoccurrences here. Now, let's take a state like, say, Wyoming. You got a bunch of damn ranchers and farmers out there, a bunch of sheep and cattle. They have a sex offenders registry, but it ain't like they're going to be putting a bunch of, probably have maybe one or two people on it. So it ain't like, they might make a phone call once a month or once every 6 months and say, Jimmy, are you still over there on the farm? You know, and that's basically it. So that's what I mean by when I say some states have them, some states don't. Some states are more active with their registries than others are, okay? But every state has a registry for child molestation. And it's important for everyone to understand that it is I personally feel like this. It's almost like if you get a summons to perform as a juror as a juror, you have an obligation. Well, guess what? I believe like this. Every citizen in the United States of America has an obligation to check the state registry once a year, or at least once every 6 months in their prospective state. I think you have a duty. Because, I mean, it's not so that you can throw rocks at the guy, because, everybody makes mistakes, but it's just so that you can know, hey, listen, you know, that guy across the street, if I see a bunch of 12-year-olds or 5-year-olds going in and out of there, something's not right. You just need to know that that doesn't need to be happening, because they all deserve to live somewhere. Follow what I'm saying? And that's why I want to put that out there. But every state, because when I just pulled it up, every state has a registry. Okay? Every single state. And what you do is you go to your prospective state, you type in www.stateofgeorgiasexoffenderregistry, and it comes up. Or you type www.yourstatesname, sex offender registry, and it comes up, okay, for everybody. And it shows you pictures. It shows you their addresses. It shows you their income. It shows you, you know, basically what their charges may have been. You know, shows you everything that you need to know about that person. And the pictures are current because I think that they have to keep their photographs current. They have to check in with their parole and probation officer and the folks that run the sex offenders registry. So those are current pictures, all right? And I wanted to put that out there for the family.
So, you know,
any comments on that, Carla?
Well, I was already familiar with the sex offenders registry. Before I move anywhere, I'm looking in that. And being in real estate when I was in Atlanta, when I knew that there was a family with kids moving into an area, I would take that initiative and check and see if there are any sex offenders in the neighborhood. You know, and I've just always done that. And it's so surprising. If listeners today, if they got on their computer and pulled up the stuff, because you can actually do it from your neighborhood as well, it breaks it down like that. You know, put the street name or city, and it'll show you all the sex offenders in that particular city. And when I did that, you know, I'm just flabbergasted all the time. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people don't know that they could really break it down to city and street. But, yeah, it allows you to do that, and you will be amazed. And you're right. We're not saying, okay, go over there and throw rocks at the window, but you want to be aware of your surroundings. You could be single and still do it. You don't have to have kids. You need to be protecting yourself as well, because if they can do that, no telling what else they could do. So, yeah. Yep, and what I do in some instances, because they say that you can't be within so many miles of, so many feet around other, like, children or schools or whatever. And if you looked, all these sex offenders are breaking the laws because their house is right close to a school, and it's because their family, their parents or whatever, they're helping them, you know. They feel like, okay, mm-hmm. Well, they don't have any other place to go. But still, you know, you need to adhere to the law. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. You know, and that's true. You know, the saddest thing about what you just said is that in most cases, the family members are trying to help them. And I'm not going to put the women out there, but in too many cases, ladies, when you have your sons or you're, you know, out there that have committed these types of things and you want to help them because you love them, let me tell you something. You're not helping. What you're doing is you're coddling. Coddling meaning that you're supporting that negative behavior and giving them some gas in the engine so they can go out and do it again. And I say that to say this. When you know that your son or your daughter or whoever's on that registry does not belong within so many feet of a school, a church, don't harbor that. You know, don't harbor that because that, you know, you're putting, number one, yourself at risk and your house at risk because, you know, now some states will allow them to come in and lock you up for contributing to that. So you need to understand that. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, they made a choice, and yeah, they're on the registry, but you know what? That's a choice they made, and that's the law and the rules that we have that's set in place to protect everyone else in society, you know, whether you think that person is a danger or not. You know, we got somebody in the blog room that's still talking about the Janarlo Wilson case, and I think she probably wants some of this to be read. She mentioned that he said something about not wanting to become a sex offender because he wanted to have kids and that his life would be altered to the point where he wouldn't be able to function as an adult. She's quoting from a CNN interview in an article that she's dating as 10/29/2007, and she put out some story highlights on how he plans to go to school or college. She also, I think she mentioned, too, that Tom Joyner is paying for that young man's education here at Morris Brown. But, you know, that's important, fam, if you got to understand, because I think that he still has a conviction. He's still rated as a felon. I don't think they've done – did they do away with that as a felony conviction for him? Because y'all know, too, that if you have a felony conviction for anything, you can't receive federal funds to go to college, which I think is ridiculous. Because once you paid your debt to society, why shouldn't you be allowed to build your life back? That's probably why we got so many of these damn molesters running around with nothing to do. They can't get jobs. You know what I'm saying? People got to realize it's a double-edged sword, man. You got to give these people a break. you know, at the end of the day. But you know what, family?
Well, I think only certain. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just about to ask you something.
I think that you know, not all these sex offenders deserve a break. You know, some instances like the Janarlo Wilson case, you know, his situation was a little bit different. They both were teenagers, and it was consensual, you know. So, you know, his situation is totally innocent, in my opinion, and he should be given a break. But these other guys that make it a lifelong, you know, career to molest these children, there should be no breaks. There should be no college, you know, monies. No,
well,
they can't know. It shouldn't be. Mm-mm.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so I'm 42 years old, and I just happened to be out somewhere, and a young lady is 16 years old, which is right at the age of consent. Or no, let's go with 15. She's 15, well-developed, and, you know, I befriend her. And I have, prior to that, no prior records, no nothing, but at some point, you know, I get intimate with this young girl, and we have sex, and a relationship, you know, becomes of that. Do I deserve to go to prison?
Did you know she was 15?
Yeah, and I knew she was 15, but it was a consensual situation.
Mm-mm. No, yeah, you should go to jail.
I should go to jail. Well, let me tell you something, family. I think I should go to jail if I date a 25-year-old, let alone. But, you know, but I say that to say this, that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have to realize one thing, especially about the Janarlo case, is that I mentioned at the top of the show, is that the states, the government has stepped in and redefined the term sex offenders. To include crimes such as the one that Janarlo was accused of committing. And that's where I'm saying the atrocity is, in my mind, that's not a sex offense. You know, he's a 17-year-old boy who had sex with a 15-year-old girl. Those are kids having sex. I don't think that is a sex offense. But what they have done, and I also believe, now I think that a 47-year-old man should not be dating a 15-year-old girl, but now, I don't believe that that should fall in the category of a sex offender. I think that there should be laws against that, but not to the extent of labeling that man as a sex offender. Because sex offenders are those people who do things to people against their will or by manipulation. You follow where I'm going? Statutory was the key word. Yeah, I think it should be against the law, but I don't think he belongs on a sex offender's register.
Okay. Okay. Who's Janarlo?
No, I'm talking about the 40-year-old.
Okay.
For having sex with the 15-year-old. I don't think he should go on a sex offender register. I think that there should be some penalty, of course, statutory rape. That's why we have laws like that. It's not rape, but it's statutory. In other words, it was consensual sex with a person that was underage, under the age of consent. Yeah, that's a tough one. Okay, that's what statutory rape means. And that means, yeah, you, buddy, you're going to jail. You and Lawrence Taylor are going to be sitting in a cell together. But guess what? At the end of the day, I don't think he needs to be on a sex offender's register. That's almost like taking a leak out in the yard and the kids across the street have to be looking through the fence and they see you doing it. Guess what? You're going to be a sex offender.
Right, right. Well, you know, I wonder what it would be very interesting to hear takes from other men in regards to that that comment, that question that
just,
you posed.
You know, I'm finding that men are afraid to call into the shows because I'm not pro-man. I'm pro whatever comes out of my mouth, and I think that a lot of brothers, you know, are just, I don't know. You know, I get a lot of blog comments, and I get a lot of instant messages. I even get a lot of texts via the phone, but I think a lot of men are just, you know, like not wanting to put it out there. I get more women that call in than anything. You know, as a matter of fact, you remember we did a show a couple of weeks ago about sexually transmitted diseases. Do you know that I got an email from a lady who heard that show way back when, reached out, communicated, and to tell me her personal story of how her spouse had given her a condition. And, you know, I'm still in communication with her, trying to get her to come on to the show. She doesn't have to say who she is, but, you know, I want to go over that, you know, that story, because that's a reality. And so I said it to say this, that most of the things that we talk about here on these shows, I truly believe are affecting people. But what's happening is that we have people who are afraid to discuss these things. Carla, I got somebody on the line I think I want you to talk to. I mean, this is who I think it is. 229, you're on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show.
Yeah, what's up, Don?
Big man. Hey, this big man?
Yeah, this big man.
Big man, I want you to say hello to my producer. Her name is Carla B. She's on the line with us now.
Hello, Carla.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going
okay. Carla, Big Man is the gentleman that I told you about the other day that did the poetry on the show with us, did two very nice pieces. Well, Big Man, let me tell you something. We're talking about child molesters today, but I want to do something because I know your time may be limited. Let me say this to you, Big Man. If you got something on hand right now, give us a shout-out with it, man. Give us a taste of what you're working with. How about that?
Okay. I got a piece right now, my latest book, right? But
mm-hmm.
It's called Bless Sins.
Mm-hmm.
To do a stage in my life, and the authors get and inside the book it's under the OG preface, it's giving you the outlook of where this book has morphed from.
All right, go ahead and run with it, brother. You got the flow, bro. Run with it.
Okay, here I go. Bless Sins. From Street Gangster to OG Rated, Lawrence to Daffo. Reality, Mr. Big Man. Topic, Bless Sins. Initiated into the life I loathe to live. Being ritually provoked by the Street Gangster tradition. On a mission driving in the fast lane. With the ambitious breath of God. Once upon a time, my loathe livelihood sentenced my life arcly to life. These Bless Sins may seem odd. Still take the time to thank the Lord. My life is how he doctored my reality. I walk through war in the valley of death. Find more than a risk. My principles are to win. A change has come. Mind you not, the change was more blessed sins to come. Feel me now, so understand my real street lingo. I hear the gangster haters misanopsy and whispering. For I give a damn about the talk. Fret not how I real street walk. To go beyond the stars. Far from wishing upon a star. Blessed by blessed sins, so God is the compass of my life in this prosperous car. Ride with the passenger as I ride as the passenger of the blessed sins life. Thank you, God, for the vision of your eyes. Never heights, it's never too far. My purpose is driven by positivity. Can you see the painted masterpiece of productivity? My sins are prophetical in my eyes. Get your mind off my prophet that's in your eyes. Now you can witness a miracle, for this is not the superstition of magic. My wounds embody the scar from this life tragic. From the roughest youngster to the toughest man, you can, we can, I have, because I have faith, for I did exit prison forgiven, though I've entered these gates of hell unforgiven. This empiricalism of cultivation took me gracefully to the pulpit. Believe not that my gangster testimony isn't worth their success. Nevertheless, on the other side of the real streets, reality commends an OG, as my blessed sins bear stress. No distraction breeds more accomplished actions. Transactions focus fuel progressive plans and route towards my destination. I am one of the perfection of God creations, for this is more than a poem. This is the scripture of a reality song. You can read the verses, still yet understand the reality poetry in these verses. The scripture is more than just the devil, for I've survived the maintenance of the street curses. Why not thank me, myself, and I? For I am self-made, but don't take this gangster integrity as vain glory. This is blessings convoluted in this conversing, real street literary convalescence. Vacated is the vacation that released the gangster man free with blessed sins. Mr. Big Man, blessed sins.
Appreciate that, Big Man. What you think, Carla?
That was really nice. I might have to share one of mine today. Also, I want to let Big Man know, I don't know if he's already reached out to one of our youngest radio personalities, Say too. She has a new poetry show that is launching on the 1st of July, and I think it's at 2 a.m. So
yeah,
it's definitely going to be something for the grown and the sexy. So definitely reach out to her to get featured.
Carla,
anywhere, because I'm trying to find mine, because I'm gonna show him how it goes.
Carla, wait a minute, Carla. Before you go, listen, I'm like promoting Big Man, so I mean, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? That's the brother that I was talking to you about.
Okay, cool beans. That's what's up. Well, yeah, definitely. We got a lot of things that we're doing in the L.A. area. So if you're ever in the L.A. area and you're trying to get on the mic, make sure you hit us up because we're actually doing our new events that's launching once a week starting July 25th here, and we'll be featuring some of the hottest poets, hottest indie artists, and some of the signed artists that have been on our music shows. So, yeah, you definitely want to stay connected with Don for that. And that was some good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And you know what? I'm glad he called in. He always calls in at the right damn time, too, for whatever reason. And he always has the right piece, too. But I'm going to tell y'all something. We were talking about child molesters in the top of the show, but the bottom half of the show, we're talking about the true value of Black men. I know we had a show the other day about the value of a woman or something along those lines. Isn't that right, Carla B.? Well, we're talking about the value of Black men. In particular, why are they so targeted in the system as much as they are? That's what we're getting ready to talk about now. And I'm glad that he called. It's good, like I said before, it's good timing for him to have called in at this point. I want to say this because he's a very insightful person. I want to read this and I want to give Big Man an opportunity to comment on this. It seems that society is intimidated by a Black man when he expresses himself openly. You can't say because Black people are violent. Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews and was crazy as hell. Black people should be afraid of white people after that, but they're not. Could it be that we stand up for ourselves naturally and that seems to intimidate those folks? Honest answers, nothing is too offensive. Open yourself to your fears and misunderstandings. Okay? Mm. Now, that was sent to me via Blackberry letter. I told y'all I had some Blackberry comments in here I was going to read. Now, I'm going to give Mr. Big an opportunity because I know his time is very limited as well. Mr. Big, give us a shout-out on that piece I just read.
Frankly, they spoke on it. Black men have infinite minds, you know. It's like things that has been upon in the past, majority of the time, half of the blacks don't know blacks was the one that created that, you know. You're taking it frankly of what you see on the forefront, but in the backside of the game, you know, the black man was the one that created that. You know, and in this day and time, if you got all these men incarcerated, the population drops of black men, birthing the kids, not only that, but guess what? Create more infinite minds to create more of a better place, a better world.
Mm-hmm.
Every black man that wasn't afraid to speak out, you know, he wasn't afraid to die, for one. But majority of the time, that what took his course, death, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know what I like in that, too, what you just said, is y'all remember the movie 300? I love the movie 300 because, you know, even though those men knew that they were going to lose the battle, they said, you know what, to hell with that. We going out here and we're going to fight those dogs because we don't want them coming back and torturing our women and children. And they went out there and met them. They were outnumbered, outgunned, had more arrows and bows than they did, had more swords, but they went out there and they fought. What you think about that, Carla B., the first part of what I said, with that Blackberry comment that I put out there?
You know, I mean, I think I missed some of the Blackberry letter, but as to what you said after that was definitely on point. And I think that as far as black men, I wish there were more black men like that today. You know, black men that's not afraid to die for what they believe in.
Well, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that every brother out there is not afraid to die for what he believes in. I'm just concerned about what he's believing in. And I'm going to say it to you like this. Now, it's almost like when we talk about, like, I'm trying to remember who I heard say it on air. It was Tommy Ford. It was Tommy Ford when I was at the event with Tommy Ford this past weekend. And for y'all who don't know, Tommy Ford is Tommy off of the Martin Lawrence show. And Tommy said something, and I hope he doesn't mind me repeating this, but he made the comment to the crowd that, you know what, more black men are good fathers than we give them credit for. More black men would lay down their lives for their family than what we give them credit for. Now, I say that to say this. Black men have become, now when we talk about our women in the system and our people in the system, y'all catching hell, but you know what? We catching twice the hell because now the order, the social order used to be white man, white woman, black man, black woman. Now it is white man, black woman, white woman, black man at the bottom. Follow what I'm saying? And for those that understand that comment, you know what I'm talking about. But we're at the bottom, and we're catching holy hell. How can he perform and lay down his life when his life is already taken from him? What do you think about that, Carla?
Well, they need to. In my opinion, I'm tired of all the "woe is me" stuff and what these, you know, black men are experiencing and yada yada yada. Just stop with the "woe is me" stuff and just handle your business. Simple as that.
Well, you know what, and I agree with you. But here's the thing. Let me break that down for you a little bit. They take the brother from birth and they say put him in school.
I know,
because
but
you have
still.
To. But wait a minute. They put him in school. And they educate him in their system. They teach him how to bow down to what's going on. Now, by the time his mind starts to develop at a later age, he is so inundated with what's called the social training that's been provided for him through the school system. Now, some of us can break beyond that. But by the time we do, we're felonized. We're on child support. We've been introduced to the criminal justice system. And now they've labeled us so badly, we can't even get a good job because we have labels.
See, that's where families come in. That's where what needs to happen in the United States. Well, I don't even care about the United States. I'm talking about what needs to happen within the African American communities. Is that these families need to stop allowing these schools to raise their children. You know, because there is that when you go into schools, and the teachers, you know, they have a certain training that they teach the students, and all this stuff is all part of this really big government conspiracy to keep us brainwashed and keep us, you know, inundated with what they want us to be thinking about, what they want us to be breathing, what they want us to be eating, and things of
it's
that
working.
Sort.
It's working.
So,
you know what, Carly?
So we
it's
need
working.
To shake it. We need to shake it off, and we need to take responsibility of what is going into our children's ears and
well,
what
you know
they're
what?
Seeing.
Let me say this because I know this is going to fire you up, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know what? Our women need to be more proactive when it comes to our family structures, and not so much as in the front lines, but on the lines with the man, because too many women don't understand their roles these days. Too many women don't want to hear about their role. And I'm going to say it like this. When we talk about family, okay, when we talk about family, because you brought up family, you're absolutely right. We have no family structures in our community, but guess what? Our women have grabbed the mantle and they've run off and said, "Oh, they gave us the right to do this. We don't need a man anymore." Guess what? Yes, you do.
But that's
not what.
Let me tell you, I'm a woman, and that's not what
are
they
you,
believe.
Are you?
That's not what
are
we
you,
believe.
Really?
That's not what we believe. We've done is we've stepped up to the plate, maybe because there's no man in the household, and we feel that we have to be able to wear the pants for our sons. And be able to give them that structure that maybe the dads aren't in the family. But it's not like that's what they want to do. They have to do it because there's no, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't know any woman who has a man at home with her, a husband, that's trying to, you know, play that role as a father, as a husband, and that the woman isn't allowing him to do that.
Wait. So you don't know any woman who controls their men? Michael Bayley was just talking about this. I know plenty of them. You got women out here now, and this is how simplistic that it is. You got women out here now who are telling men, "It's time to go to bed, honey, because I'm sleepy," and they get their butts up and they take their ass to bed. You got folks out there who don't even know how to wash their own drawers. And guess what? Mama tells them, "Get in here and do X, Y, and Z." Let me tell you something. The demasculization of black men is what I'm talking about. It happens, Carla. And you know what? You have friends that you know that are doing it. The thing is this. They know they're not supposed to be doing it, so they hide it. You don't know what goes on in people's doors. What you got to do is watch their reactions when they hit the street. But they're doing it. What you think about that, big man?
Both of y'all have this like a paradigm. Both of y'all are right. And the thing about it is, like what she was saying, they didn't just take it. You know what I'm saying? They gave them that torch. And a lot of them looked at it like, you know, yeah, we can run with this. But at the end of the day, like you just stated, you know, they're going to realize that, see, one thing about raising a boy and a girl is totally different with two parents, you know what I'm saying, because the boy traits going to really come from the father as it would from the mother itself. But when it's within itself, the man, which is the beast over the son, you know what I'm saying, seeing that he knows the direction to leave. A woman can never go as further as a man can with a boy. Just like a man may not ever be a woman to treat her in that same sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So within the discipline of it, if like a woman don't have a man at home, you know, you have others. If you see a good character of someone, whether it's in your uncle, your brother, or someone of that nature, you know, you should push your son, nephew, or anybody towards that model. Because one thing about kids, they are sightseers. So once they see someone is doing something on a path that, well, I choose to do this, they follow with that trend, you know.
Mm.
And you want them to see the right sight. So you know what you want. Just like, as you saying, taking them and putting them in the school, which, you know what I'm saying, getting the fundamentals of which they want to find. You know, you should define their lives for them. Like, you know, you take other countries. It's a lot of things that they don't do that is Americanized, that if we done it here with discipline of the children, we would be further in advance. You know, we have too many distractions about other things, like, as you spoke on the other day, like, you know, moms may be at work, so she really think that's taking care of the kid, going to work, coming home. But really, you don't know what's going on in the child's life. And
right.
Once the child speak, you tell the child to be quiet because you're a mother. That don't work that way. Get to know the kid for once.
Right, right. That's what we were talking about that the other day. You know, we want our kids to have a voice and, you know, and have their opinion and talk to us. But when they start talking, what's the first thing they say? Be quiet. So.
You know, you're not really. See, one thing about it, a parent can't make choices for the kid. The parent is only there to direct the kid. The choices of the kid comes within he or she self before the fact that kid is a growing being. Once certain puberty or age, the kid decisions totally basis becomes upon himself. If the kid becomes to respect the parent and follow in that direction, the kid.
Wow.
That's why. You know, you have to a certain amount of kids that, you know, they may go in an opposite direction, not because the parents, sometimes parents defy themselves thinking that they wasn't a good mother, a good father, because the kid chose that. But you didn't make the kid choice. The kid made his own choice from not listening to you, but outside of your behavior, outside of their behavior, outside of your realm, it's other kids and other things that, you know, they pick up.
Right.
So if something else is interesting and intrigued them more than just being at home, you know, that's where that focus is going to take its heed to. And not just saying that the parent is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Even if the kid is doing something wrong.
Wow. Wow, stuff there. What do you think, Carla? I know you got some comments about that.
Hey, no, I'm with him. I agree with him because he's saying more in line as far as, you know, what I said as well. So, I mean, you're on point.
Mm-hmm.
You're a smart
young
brother.
Yeah, he's a very insightful young man, and that's why I enjoyed talking with him the other day. And I, you know, and Carla, I'm gonna say this in front of him, Mr. Big. I spoke to your manager today. She and I talked for a while, and Carla, I'm gonna get with you offline to share some things about him that I'm sure he would appreciate you knowing, and see if we can step in and do some things with him. Very powerful stuff. As a matter of fact, as soon as the show is over with, Carla, if you have time, I will call you right away. But you know, I just got another BlackBerry comment came in. This guy is saying he totally agrees with the last comment. Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. Yes, this guy agrees with the last comment. He says, yes, but they will never admit it. But most people are intimidated by us. We are stronger physically and mentally. Well, the ones of us that are not on drugs. That was the whole reason for oppression, because they were scared. They were afraid of us. Now, and I'm going to tell y'all something. For the women out there that feel like, you know, I got to wear the pants and I got to do my thing, and I respect Carla B, because I know Carla B personally. I know that she is a good mother to her children, and I know that she's a very loving woman. But I want to say this to the women that feel like they need to put on the pants and wear them in place or in lieu of the man, even whether he's there or not there. I don't know what the situation is, but I want to say this to you. My hat goes off to you, but you know what? When you're talking about young black men, and I'm just going to put it to you like this, my mother, who raised four by herself, made it a point to not put on the pants per se, and try to teach us how to be men, per se. But she made it a point to go out and find men, whether they were in the family or out of the family, to give us some type of a manly structure to have a pattern in our life. So I say that to say this, ladies. Before you decide that you want to put the pants on, how about this? How about you go out there and find someone, you know, someone of character now, who can step in and perform in that role or that function for you in that capacity. How about that, Carla?
Repeat that. Say that one more time so they can remember that, because that was powerful.
Okay. What I'm saying is, What I'm saying is that my mother, as an example, to those women out there who feel as though they had to put the pants on and raise the children by themselves, you know, and wear the pants and teach the young boys how to be men, let me say this to you. My hat goes off to you for the effort that you put into it. But
right.
Why not go out there and do what my mother has done? And she went out and she found someone, whether it was an uncle or even somebody that she dated, and said, listen, this is a good man. I want y'all to pay attention to some of the things that he said. And she put that man in front of him and said, mm-hmm. You know what? Hey, listen to this and let's do that. You remember, Carla B., when I said, I made the comment to you about eating a woman's food when she had children in her home?
Right.
My mother, a friend of my mother, you remember my mother told you about the gentleman that she used to date that had did that? You remember
right.
that? You remember that?
Right.
That was a great example. That was a great example of a man coming into the home, my mother's home, and showing
right.
me something about being a man. So, ladies, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why we have so many men, and Steve Harvey seems to think that a generation didn't teach him how to be men. I disagree with him respectfully. But I want to say this. You know what, ladies? When you have a young man who grows up with a mother who takes care of him and supposedly, quote-unquote, teaching him how to be a man according to what she thinks a man should be, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't take offense to it. Let me tell you what happens. That young man, 9 out of 10 times, grows up with the attitude that women are supposed to take care of him. And that's why you have so many of them out there with that attitude. I don't need to cook and clean. I don't need to do none of that. That's what you're supposed to do. Or better yet, I don't even need a job. That's what you're here for. That's why that's where that comes from. Because they are so accustomed to having a woman tend to their needs socially, financially, emotionally, and you name it. That's what they're accustomed to. What do you think, big man, about that?
Couldn't say it even perfect.
Say it again, big man.
I said you broke it down to its lowest denominator. Couldn't say it any perfect because men do look in a sense of form. You know, it comes from being, you know, caressed by your mother and going into the sense like you didn't have that manly figure there to, you know, muscle you around and stuff. So and when the woman is totally doing things for you of that nature, it goes on and on. You know, you have men, I know men today, up in late age, still lives with their mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plenty of people know people of that sort, you know what I'm saying? And you would wonder why that is so. And you come a certain age that, you know, you go off, you know, and directly it falls part of, like you just said, women treating their son becoming a man into that sense of treating him and not showing the responsibility to say, okay, you have, because that sort, it can cripple a person. Because if you don't
mm-hmm.
take the responsibility in that to walk out and say, okay, I can do this without moms, meaning that you can do this without this female, you know what I'm saying, right here only doing this for you, because you got a lot of guys that tend not to know how to have responsibilities to step up in a household, to do a lot of things that they only think the woman is keen to do. But that's not so.
Right.
It's being responsible as a man to be able to be in that place and step up and say, you know, I'm responsible for myself. They're just like waking up and taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of your hygiene regardless.
I want to add something to that really quick. I think that, and that's so true what you said, and I think that the mothers and the fathers, so to speak, they need to definitely do, you know, some of the things that you said your mom did, Don, which is go out, maybe find a mentor for the boys, or, you know, get somebody within the community. You know, go to a boys and girls club and find a good mentor there or somebody within their family. Because what the moms are trying to do, they're trying to do it both, be the mom and the dad, because they feel like they can do it. And I think that's damaging the child. I just had to, just recently had to do something different that wasn't the norm for me. I've been a single mom for a very long time, even though my son's father is in, he's active in their life, but the boys have always lived with me. But just recently, the boys are 14 and 10, and they wanted to live with the father. And that was so tough for me to decide to let them do that. But, you know, they're at an age where they need to be with him 24/7. This is the age where boys learn those, you know, learn how to be a man. You know, between the ages of 10 and 16, if they don't have it, if they don't have that, you know, they grow up and there's, you know, some kind of awkwardness within their lives, I think. But I think that it's tough for some mothers to let go of that. They don't want to let go of that.
Well, you know, you got some of them that. Well, you know, you got some of them, they don't want to let go because they like that child support check. Now, I experienced that. You know, they like that check. You know, I can't handle them, but I ain't going to give them to you because I need the money. What you need the money for?
Okay.
Here's the point I'm making. I'm taking it somewhere with this family. I believe, and I can prove, now, and it's going to take a lot of y'all to help me with this now, but I think the strongest and most powerful thing to deal with on the face of this earth, number one, is a woman's ego. Now, we all have egos, but I think a woman's ego is the strongest thing out there because behind every man is a good woman. Fellas, we cannot do it on our own. That's a fact. Your woman is a part of whatever the hell you got going on, and she's an intricate part of it, whether she's in the front or whether she's in the back. Now, with that being said, the strongest type of ego is the one that exists in our black women, okay? Y'all Negroes will take it to the grave and will never admit when it's wrong until you
die.
That's
not true. That's not true.
Yeah.
I wonder, you can't put us all in that one big bundle like that. That's not fair.
Yeah. I'm doing it. Yeah.
Wow.
All of y'all, including Carla B.
You don't even know me like that, so I don't think so. But you know what?
Here's what I'm going with it. In all seriousness, I'm not intentionally saying that all women are the same, and please don't accept it like that personally, because if you know you're a good woman, keep doing your thing. But here's what I am going with it. When I say all, I do mean in a general sense, because I don't know everyone individually, and everybody's experiences are different. So don't take it personal. But as a group, and see, I try to get people, in any of my shows, I always try to get people to do one thing. Take yourself out of the situation and look at it as a whole. Because I think that once we do that and we stop personalizing this stuff that we're talking about, if we stop personalizing the system, we'll be able to understand how it's affecting us as a group. Now, then you'll be able to say, look, I did my little part to feed the system so I can stop that. Because now you're not taking it personal. So don't take it personal, ladies. Just look at it as when he says group, when I say group or as a whole, guess what? Take yourself out of it personally, because when you do that, you'll see that you may not be the one doing it, but that sister that you know right over there, that is your cousin or somebody in your circle is doing exactly what I'm talking about. That's the person that I'm talking about. You follow what I'm saying, Carla?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
100%.
That's it. What you think about that, big man?
Yeah, sure indeed. You gave a factual actual.
Mm-hmm.
What
you absolutely.
Call it, what do you call it? Factual actual? That's
yeah,
what's
actual
up.
Factual. You know, mm-hmm. it's truth. You know, you gave them reality.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, here's the thing. It is the thing that I've learned, especially in doing these shows, is that people generally don't like to see the truth. That's why child molesters and, like I said, those terrorists, that's why those terrorists getting away with so much for so long. Y'all think that terrorism just started? It's been going on for years. Matter of fact, the United States is the one that trained Bin Laden. Guess what? Let me tell y'all something. Terrorists, child molesters, okay, haters, all right, they all operate off of a code of silence. In other words, I'm planning on screwing you up, but I'm not going to spring my trap until I'm ready. That's the one thing that they have in common. And you know what people like to do? They like to hide their head in the sand, and we oftentimes like to wait until this situation has affected us directly. We're wrong for that, family. White people are good for one thing. When they see their cousin or somebody go through some shit, let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to stop what they're doing. They're going to get involved. They're going to become proactive, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to put some eyeballs on that situation. And they're not going to wait until it comes to their front step. You understand? We, on the other hand, we wait until it affects us directly, whether it be our son, our daughters, our mothers, whatever. You follow what I'm saying? What you think about that, Carla?
You know, I mean, I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm. Big man?
Yeah, black people make too many excuses. They tend not to believe it, no.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, the easiest thing in the world to do is to make an excuse as to why you can't do the right thing. That's important. You know, and I'm gonna tell y'all something. You know, when we talk about the criminal justice system, you know, the other day, I'm gonna tell y'all something. The system, period. You know, we had a senator who got indicted in Texas, and he's been under indictment for some years. His case hasn't gone to trial yet. You know what he said when they indicted his ass? You know what he said? That is a prime example of the abuse of the indictment procedure in this country.
Wow.
Now let me say this to you. Prior to that, when a brother or somebody else who was maybe slightly innocent got indicted on some shit, well, that's the system that we live in. Now, I've heard the man say that because I'm from Texas and I pay attention to my Texas senators. But now, why am I bringing that up, family? I'm bringing it up because at the end of the day, guess what? Words are very powerful. You get folks out there who use words to their benefit, regardless of what their situation may truly be. You follow where I'm going, family? What y'all think about that? What you think, Carla? Okay. Big man, what you think about it?
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly. Words are truly powerful. And when you're putting the right words out there and the right message, the right voice, people will take heed and follow, you know. Instead of moving, they'll get on front line with you.
And, you know, and at the end of the day, you know what? I'm going to tell y'all something, man. You can take an innocent person or innocent – I see your comments in the blog room, fam. I'm going to read those comments in just a second. But, you know, you can take something so innocent and turn around and make it into anything that you want to. That's why prosecutors are so effective. Prosecutors, in effect, are good actors in court. Y'all believe me when I tell you that. They're good actors. Catch a case and find out. Y'all listen to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking about the demasculinization of black men right now. Earlier in the show, we were talking about how our child molesters are running free on the streets without getting the big sentences that we think they should get. So stick with us. Big man, stick with us as long as you can. Carla B., I know you said you were pressed for time, but we're going to take a break and come right back, and we're going to see if we can get some more comments from you. All right, family? We'll be right back. The Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Hey. Welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, family. Y'all know I love that quote right there from the man on Public Enemy there. That's why I like to start back with those when we're talking about our black men. But let me throw this at y'all, family. I got some comments in the blog room that are very, very interesting, coming from Real Street and from the lovely one. Let me start with lovely ones. Actually, let me scroll up because it sounded like they had an engaging conversation up in here. Let me scroll this up a little bit. I know Real Street, I can pick it up with Real Street, says that there are real circumstances that can correlate to why there is a gap in our families. And lovely one, I guess, was asking about what the major problem may be. Real Street put this out there, and this is what caught my eye. Involvement. There are many power figures speaking out about this. There aren't many power figures speaking out about this problem anymore. And she was asked, why not? And she answered saying that they're selling out. Now, she said they're selling out and acting like they're too up on a mountain to speak up for our people. When I say our people, it affects us the most, because statistically it's our black men who aren't involved with our children like they should be. But there are many circumstances that can correlate to why there is a gap in the families. Real Street, I think that you answered that very articulately. And I want to start with Big Man. Big Man, what do you think about that, man, being a young black man yourself?
Yes, I believe that wholeheartedly myself, because, for one, incarceration takes us down, you know, when you come in there. Now within the systematic, you know, things going on so systematic, you got young black males getting taken off the street at age of 13. Like we spoke on before on the last show, you know. So where does the livelihood go? And the majority of the time, a young black male meets another baby with around the ages of 15 to 17 years old, but by the time he's 20, he's already in prison. You know, and it seems like the black people would look the incense like, you know, just think if there was some Mexicans or it was some El Salvadorians, wouldn't you think that they would stand up for their people and be like, hold up, you know, this is just only affecting young black males, but you have all these different nationalities, you know what I'm saying, that shows, once, a gap in the black race that shows that, you know what I'm saying, why aren't, it's no whole, no togetherness, when it, you know, no matter what situation occurs, when it affects, like on a broad, just take history for example, when it affected as a broad, or if it could be one individual, it affected in a broad sense. In, on past history, you feel me? But in today's terminology, you know, it can affect one, but it don't affect on the broad. When all actually, like you just stated, it was sooner or later knock hit you on your doorstep, and that's when you want to speak about it. But it's best to speak about something before it gets into that infectious state, you know?
Interesting. All right. Man, you know what, man? I love, man. Yeah, Big Man, Carla B has something that she wants to share with you. And I want to get your attention on this. But before we do that, Carl, I want to say this. I was asked a question, okay, in 1 minute. I was asked a question in the blog room about what I think about, do I think that our children and their generation will be saved from our destruct? And the answer that I put out there very openly was no, I don't think so. I'm like President Obama. I think that we need to start over again with the little ones, because the grown folks that are out here already know what they want to do, and they're already doing what they want to do. We can work with those that want to be worked with, but let's start with the younger generation, and let's get them on point, because that's what's going to save us. Teach our young women how to be with their young men again, and teach the young men how to be men for the young women. All right, with that being said, Carla B., go ahead with your piece.
All right, I actually wasn't prepared to say it right this minute, but...
Okay. All right, well, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you need a second?
Yeah, give me 5 minutes and I'll be ready.
Well,
Hold on, Big Man. I'm gonna play some music. Now, Big Man, when I play this music, start commenting, okay? Because I knew you had something to say, man. I'm playing this for you. All right, go ahead. Start talking.
Okay, it's like on a sense of, you know, you have to promote that now, because I'm all for one of going back to the youngster. You can't, you know, like I said, you can't feed a person that already think that they got all the knowledge, something new. So you have to go back to the young generation and give it to them in a sense. So starting from a young mind, you can mature a mind even better. That's like in the trend of going, taking the black men from the schools or whatnot, in a sense of being taught things that it don't even have nothing to do with their everyday livelihood, their life in general. When you go to school, you learn about things that, you know, totally way out Mars and way down Pluto. So, you know, you basically have to look at your everyday livelihood, start from the financial literacy standpoint, which, you know, that defines more of a black man in America than anything. Many are, you know, you could be in the streets, and many still are, you know what I'm saying, not literate enough to know financial literacy, though, which helps the black man in a more great expense than anything that probably else can affect itself. Because once he know about his financial standpoint, because that is what the world rotates off. One thing about it, the world spins 24/7. The dollar spins with it, you know. And, you know, basically, the black man is lacking in that situation. That's like starting point, coming up into certain points of history. You know, the black man learned so much knowledge about getting into the economic field of things. You know, if we can teach our young to gain this knowledge while they are young, you know, instead of working, like at school would say in the old terms, good job when you go to school, you know, maybe you can open up your own business, you know what I'm saying, something that can benefit more, you know, than just I'm working up under this situation, and this person I work for is like two countries away from me. But you can own this and have this in your own community, not just only that, in the United States, which the country in which you live.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Powerful, man. Powerful. Very, very powerful. Carla B., are you ready to give big man?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I am.
All right,
I just wanted to give him a little bit of taste. Before
you run this, I'm going to let you know I'm a little jealous because, see, big man just busting up on the scene, and you ain't never done this for me, so I'm going to let you know I'm jealous. Go ahead and run
all
it.
All right. Well, I've been a poet for years, but this is called Intrinsic Reason. Well, you can either take the side that nothing at all matters and that we only have one life to live, so live it up, or that there is meaning. She does not feel God played dice with the universe, for she has lived long enough to witness a grand design in the scheme of things. And if there weren't any meaning, what would be the sense in experiencing this great ride of life? Feeling the ups and downs of the greatest roller coasters, learning to live with the pain just as willingly as she has indulged in the joy. For to her, as time evolves, it all makes sense. She sees the pieces falling into the mysterious puzzle, just as she understands the birds singing beside her bedroom window. One is so noisy, why won't he quiet down, she thinks. He has something to say and just wants everyone to know. And oh, how they fly with such incredible grace, so in tune with the rhythm of the wind. She longs to be in tune, to wait as patiently for the wind, seemingly gliding yet hauntingly standing still. Such glorious balance. To find only one thing as she walks the earth, be it another few years or 50 more. She wants only truth, for truth is all there should be, and it definitely matters. It defines her life, and she thinks it has nothing to do with disregarding the world. It's more like figuring out what it is she truly wants in her world, what she cannot live without, and realizing those things she thought were once important, she can so effortlessly live without. She's at peace with time, for she know her heart doesn't lie. I'm not done. Hold on. My computer just froze. Oh, my goodness. Okay. For she knows her heart doesn't lie. And though she might. I'm sorry. All right. It defines her life, and she thinks it has nothing to do with disregarding the world. It's more like figuring out what it is that she truly wants in her world, what she cannot live without, and realizing those things she thought were once important, she can so effortlessly live without. So she's at peace with that. She's at peace with time this time, for she knows her heart doesn't lie. And though she might not know him, she understands his heart the same as her very own. His heart will keep what is real. It better matter. It should make sense. To her, it should be like the reflection of the morning sun on the Sapphire River, making a mirror so crystal clear there will be no denying it. So naturally, as time goes by, she hopes everything else shall get washed away by this meaning. We always end up having the appearance of our truths. It is unavoidable, quite undeniable. She wonders, can thought suffice to sustain a mind? And what is sustenance except our own interpretation? Would she truly desire one completely happy moment if it meant hundreds of sad moments would follow? He'd imagine she had totally lost her mind, and he'd be right. What if every time he fell in love, he was forced to say goodbye? Would he want to again and again? She knows he cannot be thinking, and the anguish of never having each other there when they need it would eventually turn them insane. Breathing with it, acknowledging the lessons and uncovering a new torment, to examine, to enlarge and soak in the secrets of this great sea she has woken up in, whether it be in her everyday life or something she imagines. And she can feel him thinking of her throughout the day, like the crashing and pounding, that constant sound of soothing music. How she wishes it were all she'd ever hear. In between moans as she tastes his sweet neck, sucks on his juicy lips, inhales his almonds, which seem to float off of him, and get her high. No other drug could ever begin to compare, and she has to shake her head, conceding that her heart should always be so very full of him, making her mind powerless to push away the thought of him. And she wonders why he questions her, dragging away, pulling from the questions. He already should know all the answers. She must remain in the feeling, for that is the only place worth being. Why she even bothers to write, he thinks. The pressure which comes from keeping us face-to-face with the real world. Writing appears and gives us the only chance of keeping that other consciousness and indulging in its adventures. Creating is living doubly. Her true self is the only gift she'd ever want to give him, so deep-seated it is hard to abandon. The concrete holds no treasures, no such treasures. What dwells in her is as necessary as sucking in her very next breath, for she knows life is not cut and dry. To her, it is torn and ripped and so very soaking wet. Good God, he is right. Truth falls into each mind differently, whether it is accepted or not. She will say it again. She wants only truth, for truth is all there should be, and it definitely matters. It defines her life. That's that piece, y'all.
She did that.
I got so many.
Carla, let me just let you know right now, I am seriously jealous because you brought that on for Big Man, and I mean, you know what? Let me just let you know.
Hey, I brought on for the whole entire EOTM listenership globally, and of course,
That ain't what you said in the beginning. Big Man, we got 6 minutes left in the show, my brother. I want to give you the opportunity first up to say some final comments about what we talked about here, and also chime in on what you think about that poem we just heard. We got 6 minutes, bro.
I made him speechless, Don. I did that. So I would turn the tables over to you, Don, and you'd give us, we got 5 minutes.
I tell you what, I think that your poem was very inspirational. I liked it. I enjoyed it, especially the part about the lips on his neck or the nectar. What was that, the nectar or the neck?
He's so stupid. I have to rewind it to hear what I said. So
the rewind, I don't listen to shows when they go back. But here's the thing: we got 5 minutes left in the show, Carla. Give us some comments about the demasculinization of black men, and if you want to, you can also touch on the child molestation issue.
Okay, and my final comments on it is that I do see the demasculation of African American men. I see it; it is happening. But I do see that there's a lot of other, some positive things that are coming to light also in regards to the different, the different opportunities, be it, in life, education, school, careers. There's a lot of great things as well. And I think that we as a people should stop grasping onto those negative things and start, just being more optimistic about our lives. And I think once we kind of step out of the wallowing in the mud, so to speak, you know, we could be able to see what it is in front of us and try to make our life a better place. As to the child molestation issues, you know, I mean, some great information that you brought to the listeners tonight as far as the different the facts, the factual stuff that you brought, the sex registry hotline or sex registry website that you share with the listeners is so very important. So I think that they should definitely take advantage of the information that's there for them. You know, and that can go back to the demasculation of African American men as well, because a lot of people feel like, well, there's no information to better themselves, but there is. You just have to maybe listen to more of Don EOTM Adams shows, you know, or start doing your own research as far as, you know, different things. Start watching the news. Stop watching all these reality shows, you know, because there's a lot of great information out there, even on the World Wide Web. So we need to empower our mind. Knowledge is power. Stop wallowing in the depressing stuff. And you're living. God gave you another day to live. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. So go ahead and do something positive with your life. You know what I'm saying? As far as child molesters, you know, I don't feel like, you know, guys or women who have molested children should get any kind of freebies. As far as education, no, they didn't. If you wanted to go to school, you go on your own dollar. You've already wasted enough taxpayer dollars, you know what I'm saying, when you were in jail. You know what I'm saying? So stop it. No, they should not be able to go to school on our dime any longer. I don't want to pay for it. Simple as that. And I believe that the laws should be, they should definitely be more stronger. I definitely agree with you when you were giving the comparisons from, you know, different bank robbers and child molesters. Child molesters should be, you know, get more time than bank robbers. It should be federal. It should be a federal offense.
And it is a federal offense. It depends if they cross federal lines or not. Okay. Here's the deal, family. All right, we want to thank Carla B for giving us that. A big man, I see him still on there, but we tried to give him that shot at those last minute comments. We got 2 minutes left in the show. And I want to say this to you, family. Thank you all for tuning in once again. But I want to say this before we head out. You know, number one, the child molestation issue is a serious issue. And we don't want to keep sticking our heads in the sand about it. And that's what I wanted to drive home with the show, is that all too often when we know these things are taking place, no one wants to admit it could happen in my home or it could happen to my child. We need to stop being in denial. I think someone in the blog room mentioned it. The best way I can say it is we tend to stick our heads in the sand and pretend that these things don't happen. That's not going to cut it. Now, when it comes to the demasculinization of black men, I think y'all need to realize one thing. It's all in the system. That includes child support. That includes the juvenile justice system, the whole nine yards. Take yourself from the situation as a whole and then look at it as a group. In other words, take yourself out of it individually and look at it as from a group aspect. And when you start to see the destruction, I want to say it to you like this. Before I head out, y'all, stay tuned Friday night for a surprise topic on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. I want to say this to you. Black women, don't be alarmed, but it's going to be about you. But I'm leaving y'all with this because this is my favorite tune.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Riders. We can't kick